Our first reading this morning is Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Let's listen together for the word of the Lord. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning, we turn to John chapter 20, verses 9 to 31. Together, let's listen for the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have faith and life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what do we do now? Right? We're in the church, living in a new world, one in which the resurrection has happened. So a world where death no longer has the final say, a world in which everything has been flipped upside down. And in this new world, we are given the choice, fear or faith. Now, our scripture readings this morning give us a little bit of both. And Christ comes to us and lays at our feet that very choice this morning. Will we hide our faith from the world? Will we hide behind locked doors? Or will we take risks and grow the church of Christ in our world today? Now, while I know the choice sounds like an obvious one, we can't forget that fear can easily take over, steering us back to the old world, to the status quo. But if we can let go of that fear, and if we let our faith entirely fill us up, then the results can be, the results will be otherworldly. Now look, faith, it's not about proof, so you're not going to get that from me very often. But if you want some evidence for that idea, you don't have to look any further than the early church in our first reading from Acts. Because even at this early point, The followers of this new faith, they numbered in the thousands already. And they all believed they were united as one. One heart, one soul, one mind, one body. And because of that, their focus was not on any individual gain, but true growth in the entire body of Christ. And so we read, there was no need among the followers. Those who had gave to whoever did not have. Now, it may sound crazy to us, and we can try to brush it off saying, well, different time, different world, different place. And sure, that's true. But it was no less radical then. In fact, everything about this new group, this new faith called the Way, it scared the people of the Roman leadership. And perhaps there was nothing more terrifying that this early church did than the act of communion. See, this was a society with very strict class lines. So the idea that people from all walks of life would gather together around the same table, sharing the same meal as one body, threatened the entire structure of society. Just imagine that. This meal that we're about to share was a threat to everything that once was. This early church, the earliest church, was a group of people who affirmed their faith in a resurrected Christ, and they lived out this call each and every day of their lives because they understood something vital. If they didn't care for one another first, they couldn't then care for the rest of the world. And so we clearly see two groups of people in Acts. We see the people of the old world, still living in fear of what might be. And we see the people of the new world, the Easter world, the resurrection world, the world where the apostles and the earliest followers are not afraid. They're no longer hiding behind closed doors. Their fear no longer guides them. Instead, they fully open themselves to a life of faith. But of course, it wasn't always that easy, was it? Because fear is a hard emotion to overcome. And we see that in John, our gospel reading this morning, don't we? Now, I know for us today, we are 1 week after Easter. But the very start of that passage from John this morning takes place Easter evening. And that means Mary had come running back, declaring that she had seen the risen Lord just a few hours earlier. And so those first disciples, upon hearing this news, they stay hiding in fear the rest of the day. Now, for good reason, the authorities could throw them in prison or much, much worse. And while, sure, they heard Mary say, I've seen the risen Lord, what was the most likely option? That the entire world, as they knew it, flipped on its head? Up became down, down became up. Everything they thought they knew was irrelevant? That death no longer had power over them? Or was it more likely that maybe Mary was just wrong? Well, thankfully, though, Christ always, always comes to us wherever we are, even if we're hiding behind locked doors. As those first disciples are huddled in this house behind dead bolts and bars, Jesus suddenly appears before them. Now, us, maybe we'd want to scold those disciples, right? What are you doing in here? Didn't Mary come and tell you I've risen? Why are you hiding? But not Jesus. No, not Jesus. Jesus offers something radical, something completely unexpected, something no one else would imagine to do. Jesus appears before them, still hiding, and simply says, "Peace be with you." He's not angry at all in this scene. Jesus goes to them and he invites them to be part of something new, a new mission in the world. A mission where fear is no longer the driving force, but rather faith and love will push them forward. A mission in the world where they go to the needy, regardless of what might happen. A mission where the only thing that matters is sharing Christ's peace with everyone. But it isn't always that easy, is it? Because 1 week later, look at where we find them still. Now, I gotta tell you, I think Thomas gets a bad rap in the Gospels. It isn't great when the first thing people think about when they hear your name is, oh yeah, the doubting Thomas. It's not a great look. But to me, honestly, I think the rest of the disciples are far worse in this story. Because think about what Thomas is really looking for. All the other disciples actually saw the risen Lord. They didn't take Mary at her word either, did they? Peter and John even confirmed the body was missing. But that Easter evening, Jesus found everyone but Thomas hiding in the house together. And 1 week later, those disciples are still hiding. In fact, Easter evening is the Gospel of John's version of Pentecost. Right? Listen to the words. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And where do we find them 1 week later with that very Holy Spirit? Hiding behind locked doors once more. All Thomas wants is the exact same experience. Now, as we know now, Jesus comes to Thomas where he is, doesn't he? And Jesus, he doesn't demand anyone come to him. Jesus doesn't require any of these disciples to take some massive leap of faith because Jesus goes to where they are. Now, if we thought Jesus would be angry Easter evening, imagine a week later. I mean, it's been a week, guys. What are you doing? But no, because there's no anger in Jesus here. He simply says once more to the same people who are hiding a week later, "Peace be with you." He just comes offering peace time and time again. But that peace, it cannot stay behind locked doors. Not then and not today. Jesus tells the disciples and each one of us gathered here today that he is sending them into the world just as God sent him into the world. To care for the needy. To feed the hungry. To give a drink to someone who's thirsty, to love the unloved, and even welcome the enemy. The peace of Christ is this radical notion that the world is at its core terrified of because of what it represents, an entirely new way of living. So what about us? Where do we think Jesus might find us today? Now, we don't have the same cause of fear that the disciples felt. But we can still experience fear, can't we? Especially the fear of change. Isn't that one of the most common ones we have? Christ came to change the world, but the world fought back with everything it had. Christ came to change how we experience life and how we live life. But sometimes it's just easier to return to life as it once was, a life before Easter. And that desire for keeping things how they've always been, well, that's in all of us in some way. We all think back to what we believe were the glory days and want nothing more than to go back to them. But Christ doesn't go back at all. Christ brings change. Now, how many of you here have heard the Reformed expression, the church reformed and always reforming? I'm sure a few of you have. You're going to hear it every now and then from me because it's a reminder that Christ constantly calls us as the church. Christ calls the church to adapt to our world in order to share his message in ways that can be heard by all people. But fear can still overwhelm that call if we're not careful. And so Christ comes to us today offering us a choice. We can let that fear control us and keep our faith isolated for Sundays and just around family and friends, or we can live into that faith. We can live into that love, just like the early church did in our Acts reading. Now remember, that church, they were making it up as they went. But look how well they did anyway. Thousands and thousands of people joining day after day, believing in this idea, this simple idea of loving others as if they were one of your own. Now, it might sound like a simple choice, but fear is easy and fear can be powerful. If we're not careful, it can take over. Because fear kept the disciples locked away, even after hearing from Mary that Jesus is risen. Fear kept the disciples locked away, even after the risen Lord appeared to each of them. But faith allowed that early church in Acts to grow exponentially. Faith gave them the courage to share what they had with others in need. Faith provided a way to overcome the fear that they must have been experiencing and replace it with Christ's love and his call to mission in the world. So where would Jesus find us this morning? Hopefully living out his call, his mission, his love. Now, friends, between now and Pentecost, for the next few weeks, we're going to focus on this early church in Acts and how they lived into this new call of faith in Christ, as well as how the disciples were handling their call to mission in the world from Jesus. We're going to take lessons from each of them as we wonder for ourselves as our church. Well, what do we do now? What's next? Now, while we live in an unimaginably different world than the earliest followers, we can still take lessons and adapt them for our day. So John reminds us this morning that Jesus will always find us wherever we are, offering us peace, never anger, offering us peace. And in Acts, we see what can happen when we go all in with our faith, when we truly care for those with whom Christ was always found. I believe that if we can live as those earliest disciples, as a church that always welcomes Christ's invitation, we can flourish in this world. So this morning, hear Christ's peace offered to each of you. Peace be with you. And go share it with the world. Amen.